Well, as much as we may love or even hate to see wild turkeys roaming urban streets, most Americans' closest interaction with the turkey is from store to oven to table on Thanksgiving. But there are increasing numbers of people who don't center their Thanksgiving celebrations around the bird, or they've got different takes on traditional turkey with cranberry sauce, stuffing, and mashed potatoes. Anthony Brooks sat down with an all-star team of Boston foodies to talk about these alternative Thanksgiving meals. He spoke with Amy Traverso, senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine, and with chef Michael Leviton, and with Brian Van Etten, who at the time was the head chef at the Cambridge vegetarian eatery Veggie Galaxy. He's now a chef at Root Catering in Rochester, New York.
So, Amy, let me start with you with sort of an overview. You've brought something delicious here, which we're going to taste. But before we talk about that, tell us about some of the less traditional techniques for preparing turkey, which are gaining popularity.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people now are very familiar with the idea of brining a turkey. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to ensure that the breast meat, which cooks more quickly, remains moist while you're waiting for those thighs to cook. And that's the problem with turkey, is it's a big bird and it's not that easy
right,
to cook.
Right, and it cooks unevenly.
Unevenly, right.
Yeah.
So brining keeps that moisture in, and it also just adds flavor. However, the one downside to brining is sometimes the breast meat can get a little bit spongy. Mm. Nothing bad, but just a tiny bit spongy. So there's this alternate method, which is called dry brining or dry curing, where you put the salt and spices directly on the skin of the bird and let that sit for a few days, 2 or 3 days.
So refrigerated, of course.
Refrigerated, yeah. Not out on the counter. You know, if it's consistently cold, you could rig up a cooler outside, maybe mm-hmm. packed with some ice. But you do it in the fridge. It's the easiest way if you have the room. You let it sit, and you get the advantage of brining without that spongy texture.
So is this what you've brought
That's
here?
What
because
I brought
it
in.
Smells amazing. So here's what I'm going to suggest. Do you want to cut off a piece so that we can taste it? And in the meantime, I'll move on to Michael Leviton. For those of us who want to maintain the tradition but who want something other than a frozen supermarket bird, you're a fan of something called heritage turkeys, right?
Yes.
How does a heritage turkey compare to the sort of standard turkey that you're going to get at the standard supermarket?
It's gamier. The breast meat, although white, has a distinctly richer, deeper, more wild flavor.
So are these the turkeys, for instance, I spend time in southern New Hampshire, and every now and then a turkey will go charging across the field. That's the traditional American wild turkey.
Yeah, they're much closer to the ones that are in my neighborhood in Lexington than are the broad-breasted white Purdue factory farm bird. And these are really birds that spend their entire lives, you know, from the time they're 8 weeks old, they are outside eating the right food and, you know, raising these animals the right way and having the right genetics. Really, these birds, they taste so much deeper and richer than our traditional dry turkey.
And my guess is that you're going to pay a little more for these.
Significantly more.
Significantly more. But worth it in your view?
Absolutely.
All right. Amy, in the meantime, you've sliced some of this dry cured turkey, which looks beautiful, and it's filled this studio with a great aroma, so I'm going to try it.
Amy, may I try some? Oh, I'm not vegetarian.
Oh, you're not? No. Oh, I'm sorry.
I assumed as much.
Now, listeners, just so you know, Amy left Brian Van Etten out, assuming he was a vegetarian, but we're going to give him some turkey, too.
Thank you.
Amy, it's great. It's really, really good. So it's got a nice salty flavor to it.
It has a mixture of herbs. There's rosemary, thyme, sage, mustard seed, and salt and pepper.
Well, it's delicious. And listeners, we're going to put all these recipes and ideas on our website at radioboston.org. So you'll get all that information there. Brian, let me come over to you because Thanksgiving shouldn't be a holiday that vegetarians dread or are excluded from. So you're head chef of the popular vegetarian restaurant Veggie Galaxy in Cambridge. You've brought in something that looks amazing. Tell us what you've done here.
Well, first and foremost, I think that the vegetarian community, although they're not consuming turkey, they still like to have something at the forefront of their meal.
Absolutely.
It's very popular. People are buying this frozen tofurkey, which is basically a soy and wheat gluten loaf that's stuffed with some breading. But what I've done is basically take my own riff off of that. So at the restaurant, we make seitan, which is basically rinsed wheat until all you have is the glutinous part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's made into a dough with a lot of spices. We have a lot of toasted fennel seed in here. There is some toasted allspice. And after you make a dough, you gently cook it. And then we've rolled it, and inside we've rolled it with a bunch of roasted shiitake mushrooms. We've added some golden raisins that we plumped in a little white wine and a touch of cinnamon. And after we've rolled it up, we re-cook it so it adheres together. It looks like a roulade, some would say. And then finally, this morning, I just braised it very gently with a little dark beer and a little apple cider.
Oh, wow. It looks so beautiful. So why don't you slice some pieces off
Absolutely.
Here? And in the meantime, I'd love to ask you, while you're doing that,
yes.
what's the sort of key to successful cooking with, how do I say this, with faux meat products like seitan, for example?
The key is try to imitate less. Hmm. From my perspective, vegetarian food doesn't have to be a straight imitation. It just has to be good, and it has to somehow slightly replace what's missing on the meals. You know, you cannot make wheat gluten taste like a turkey. And so that's not what I went for here. I went to make wheat gluten, which is high in protein, which is what a lot of vegetarians are looking for. And I went to just make that flavorful and good.
Well, I look forward to tasting that. And while you're cutting that, Brian, Michael, let me come back to you. And for the purists out there who want to roast their turkeys, whether it's a heritage turkey or traditional turkey, for those of us unaccustomed to roasting a turkey, what are the most important pointers we need to be aware of?
I think that, as Amy pointed out before, there's the traditional problem of the breast cooking before the legs. And there are a couple of different ways around this, depending on whether you've stuffed your bird or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't stuffed your bird, I like to blast it in a 500-degree oven until it begins to brown up nicely, but then drop the oven temperature to about 250 degrees and cook it very, very slowly.
Nice.
And that helps to cook everything a little more evenly without drying it out.
Mm.
With a stuffed bird, you have to go a slightly higher temperature because you don't want the stuffing in there to be in contact with the raw meat for too long.
And what do you like? I mean, do you prefer cooking a stuffed bird, or is there an advantage?
I actually fry my turkey.
You see, this is what I wanted to ask.
Okay,
the next question.
Okay, so we fry a turkey. Glad you asked.
Yeah. I've done that a couple of times with some success. It's pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
I think
it's
I did a 16-pound turkey in something like 45 minutes, which is
it's
incredible.
Just about 3 minutes a pound.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You can, get your inner redneck on for a day or so.
Don't do it on your wooden deck.
Exactly.
Don't do it in your kitchen, right?
It was actually raining one time when I did it, and I stood out there with the umbrella for 45 minutes. I wouldn't recommend doing it in the rain either.
Right. My father did it in his garage with all my uncles smoking cigars.
Okay. Oh, good.
It turned out great.
Yeah.
Nice way to bring family dysfunction under one roof. Yeah, that sounds great. Which is what Thanksgiving's all about,
sure.
Right?
Yes.
Sorry, Michael. You
No. I was going to say something inappropriate, so it's probably good that you... But it really, to me, I mean, you get a fabulous tasting bird.
Yeah.
You get wonderful crispiness. It stays really moist, provided you also don't overcook it. I think one of the things that's really helpful is to have a thermopen, instant read thermometer. The value of this cannot be underestimated.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous tool.
But here's my question. What do you do about the stuffing? Because, of course, you can't fry it stuffed, right?
There's the problem with that. So the last time we did Thanksgiving at home, I fried one and then roasted another one with the stuffing. Because to me, one of the best parts of Thanksgiving is the stuffing that comes from that one particular area just at the opening of the cavity of the bird,
mm-hmm.
where you get both that interplay of crisp, slightly dried out stuffing, and where it's also absorbed all of the great juice from the turkey.
Mm. Now, I got a couple more questions, but Brian has sliced up this turkey made from wheat protein, so I want to give it a shot.
Oh, that's really cool.
This is amazing. The seitan, it has the texture of meat. And this has delicious flavor, by the way.
However you treat it, you can have it contain all sorts of different textures.
Yeah.
At the restaurant, we make huge logs of it, shave it, and it has the texture and shape and look of deli meat.
Hmm.
The same token, we'll make smaller logs, cook it a little bit less, cut it into patties, and we call it chorizo patties. It's like little sausage patties fried up on the grill. You can really modify this product any way you want.
Amy, I'm curious to come back to you. Why do you think more and more people are choosing to break with this sort of tradition? Or are they? Is that what you're observing out there?
I think people are actually more traditional with Thanksgiving than maybe any other meal of the year. I think there are certain dishes that just are emotionally salient for them that you just wouldn't feel like Thanksgiving without them. But what they are doing is playing with the seasonings. And and I think that's a great approach. Keep your turkey, keep the stuffing, you know, just vary it slightly. But, you know, and then you always have to have Aunt Helen's green bean casserole. And that's fine. Have that because it's something we look forward to every year. In the November issue of Yankee, we have a great recipe for sweet potatoes that are cooked in a chai spiced glaze. And it's familiar, but it's a little bit of a twist. And I think that's what people are looking for.
So something that I've noticed about family traditions, we in our family, we've certainly held on to some that everyone seems to like. But after the longest time, we realized that we were holding on to traditions that nobody liked. For example, everyone thought that we had to have creamed onions because creamed onions were always a part of Thanksgiving. And then one day, you know, I think it was sort of August or September, we were having a conversation with my mother and it was like, but no one likes them. Do you like them? No, I make them because I thought you liked them. Well, I was eating them because I thought you liked. It turned out that nobody liked creamed onions. So they were finally banished after about 40 years of Thanksgiving tradition in our house.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a every new generation. Then, when the next generation steps up, you have a family meeting and you figure out what you're keeping and what you're getting rid of.
All right. Let me whip around the table for one final question and just ask you all what your favorite Thanksgiving meal tradition is that might be a little out of the ordinary. Michael, let me put you on the spot first.
I don't know. For me, it's now the fried turkey. That's become a tradition.
Yeah.
And even though we're going to somebody else's house these days, we still set up the turkey fryer and do an extra bird.
I think it's a great idea. How about you, Amy?
In my family, my grandmother always made this sort of a squash souffle that was served with the turkey, but it really was essentially pumpkin pie filling baked in a souffle dish. So for us as kids, it was a great way to get dessert before dessert was served. And so I continue to make that dish, and it's a big crowd pleaser.
Brian?
A more general tradition, my family has recently turned towards having kind of like a cooking competition for Thanksgiving where everyone, to relieve the stress of one person doing the whole meal, everyone brings something, and we actually have a trophy we pass around to that year's winner based on who had the best dish.
Oh, that's a great idea. So who won last year?
Last year I won.
You won. And what was it?
It was a very straightforward, simply roasted Brussels sprouts, a little chorizo in there, some red pepper chili flake, and some garlic and shallot.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's my colleague Anthony Brooks speaking with Brian Van Etten, a chef at Root Catering in Rochester, New York, and with Amy Traverso, senior lifestyle editor at Yankee Magazine, and chef Michael Leviton. You can find recipes for Brian's roasted Brussels sprouts with goodies, Amy's dry cured turkey, and Michael's fried turkey at our website, radioboston.org. Well, when we come back, love, loss, and moving forward with one half of the musical duo Brown Bird.
It's this mythical point where heaven and earth connect. Reading about this phrase was just, it was like a bolt of lightning hit me.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.